Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire.
That's right, baby. It's 5 o'clock and congratulations. Hopefully you are off work today. And with that, luckily for you, Old Dirty and Show have the latest. And the latest is right now. The SEC presidents and chancellors, Clint, voted unanimously Thursday to extend membership invitations to the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas to join the SEC effective July 1st, 2025, with competition to begin in all sports for the 2025-2026 academic year, something that just started a week ago when John Lopez, you can hear every day from 10 to 2 on In the Loop, tweeted out first. We had him on that same day that there's real momentum with OU and Texas going here. It just didn't start that day. It has already happened in about a week's time, Clint. OU, Texas, they're going to accept these invitations. They're going to be in the SEC now.
Yeah, I said it from the jump. I think it's a no-brainer, man. I mean, the SEC is the best in the game right now, best in the college game right now, college football being the head of that monster. They're clearly the best conference in the game right now in college athletics. They see the fact that there's power conferences, super conferences coming down the road, and they're going to be the first one to step out, put their toe in the water, invite two other monster programs that'll help them generate revenue, that'll sell tickets for their other members, and that will, most importantly, in my opinion, will widen the gap between them and any other conference out there, regardless of who they go after now. This SEC has been the dominant conference for years. This right here, show, I mean, this inks the deal to where there's no way that for the foreseeable future that the SEC will be overtaken or even compared to by other conferences.
And I'll tell you what, and I know we've talked about this, all three of us, a while. Now, what I do believe now has to happen before this point of 2025, they have to extend the amount of playoff spots there are in college football. Because to me, when you have that conference, those 16 teams, and there's only four spots, they're just going to – I mean, they're going to beat each other up. They're going to absolutely beat each other up in a major way, and it's going to be like you could run into having two lost SEC teams that are as good, that should be in a playoff situation – as anybody when you're adding Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, I can't wait to see what some of these schedules are going to look like. There are going to be some schedules where you play.
Well, sure, it'll be some. We saw COVID-19 schedules last year, right? Now, some of them didn't get played, but I mean, good gosh. I mean, they were ridiculous. So it'll be very similar to that with a couple of non-conference games thrown in there.
I mean, you think about if you're a, let's say Texas goes to the West with A&M. You're going to play Oklahoma every year. You got Oklahoma, A&M, Alabama, LSU, Auburn. That you know is on your schedule. Like, those teams, they're just going to beat each other up. It's something, and we know, especially when fans get in the stands, how hard it is to win on the road in college football. Like, are you going to tell me that there's four spots four playoff spots, hell, three of them could come from the SEC.
Well, I think that's one reason why the SEC and the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas, it's why they jumped. It's why they're the ones that threw the gas on the fire, because they see all this change coming in college football. Let's be honest, that's what's driving this. They see all this change coming, whether it's players getting paid, it's college football playoff expansion, or it's these super conferences. It's just a matter of time. Somebody's got to be first, and the SEC said, hell, why not us? And if we're going to be the first ones, let's go get the two biggest brands that are available. And they went and got it, OU and Texas.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's the next step, and I think the ball is in the court of other conferences like the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big Ten to now make their move.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, still today, we were at training camp, and that's still one of the biggest stories here in Houston. And let's look at it. David Culley, he gave an update on the latest with, which is basically the story of camp right now, Deshaun Watson.
Well, as we said before, it's a daily deal, and there's no change from yesterday. Like I said, there's no change, and we're just going day to day.
All right, that's David Culley. No change, going day to day. You were out there as well as I. What did you see today in day two of training camp with Deshaun Watson?
I mean, I think it was more of the same. Probably a little bit less work than he got yesterday. A little bit less engaged than he was yesterday. All understandable. We all know that the situation is what it is with Deshaun, and I don't expect him to be engaged. I don't expect him to participate. Clearly, the coaches don't expect him to participate. He's doing absolutely nothing other than individual drills. And once you get about 20 minutes into practice, it's you just wander around on the field and take a knee wherever you can get behind the offense. It's more of the same. I think moving forward, show the biggest news on the Deshaun Watson and Texans front, other than a trade or other than him being placed on the commissioner's exempt list, the biggest news is how long do Nick Caserio and more importantly David Culley and the Texans, how long do they try to push this message of, man, we're just ramping him up. Man, we're going to watch a film. We're going to get him some more reps tomorrow. You know, you hope that they stop with that message, because if they continue and they're not able to trade the guy within the next 4 or 5 days, that message is going to blow up in their face if it hadn't already, because it's clear that's not what they're doing. That's not what they're doing. No, and David Culley should not stand in front of the media and say that that's what they're doing, because it's blatantly obvious. That's not what they're doing, and it's a bad look for the Texans. I think it's going to get worse if they continue that message, and it's unfortunate that David Culley has to be one making it.
I will say
I'm with you, Dave.
This yesterday, I still see a lot of times he was standoffish. He was kind of to himself, but today I did see him interact a little bit more with teammates. I saw him with Mark Ingram talking to him for long stretches. I saw him. One moment with Ryan Izzo, who's a new tight end, I saw them standing together and actually going over a route that he threw to him, one of the few drills that he did. So
I saw him spend 2-3 minutes talking to Davis Mills.
There's
you know, we can sit here and document every time that he talks to somebody or somebody talks to him, or I mean the overall, picture that I see is just a guy that's being forced into being at practice. He's there to not get fined, and sure, he's not going to be a jackass to players that he's either never met or that he's always been in good graces with. And those players aren't going to get in his business and turn a cold shoulder to him or anything like that. They're going to communicate. Those things are going to happen throughout practice, but it's blatantly obvious what's going on. Once the players are involved in a drill, Deshaun Watson isolates himself, and it's just
most of the time he's not talking. I'm just saying a little bit more. Like when I saw him with Ryan Izzo, I'm like, they were clearly talking about a route, and he was doing hand signals of what he would. I'm like, well that's different than what I saw yesterday. At least you saw more of that today from Deshaun.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, a lot of stuff rolling around in the NBA. We'll start here tonight, a big night in the NBA draft. It is tonight. And make sure you're listening right here on Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast and our Rockets Insider Adam Spillane will be hosting a draft special right at 7 o'clock, excuse me, tonight on Sports Radio 610. It has already been reports from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that the Detroit Pistons will select Oklahoma State's guard Cade Cunningham with the number one pick. So that leaves the board to the Rockets. We're hearing a lot of people say Jalen Green is going to be the guy. Evan Mobley in the mix, a guy you love. Suggs, the point guard from Gonzaga.
Oh, QB.
Yeah, former quarterback. A winner, as our NBA insider Ryan McDonough has spoken about. But I don't want to leave this part out, though, Clinton. You've been one that's talked about it. You said with the Rockets, man, they got to get their 3, 4, 5 guys figured out. So, you know, when they find a star, that guy's there. They got 2 picks in the back part of the first round. It'll be really interesting to see what they do with that. So that's another reason to stay tuned on Sports Radio 610 tonight to see if they package those picks to move up or they pick somebody else in that process.
I'd say they package the picks. They move up. They pick Moses Moody from Arkansas. All right. I mean, it's just a shooting guard with high ceiling.
Take 2 shooting guards.
Why not, man? If you can't shoot in this league, what the hell are the Lakers trying to do? You just got through complaining about the Lakers not having enough shooters.
We'll get to their asses.
Don't be mad because the Rockets got a chance to go get 2 of them. Go get Moses Moody and be done with it. I'm here for that.
It's important. You look at the Bucks.
Yeah.
Like, Middleton is a back half of the first round guy that they added to it. You look at the Suns. That they've got some guys.
Is he first round or no?
No, he's the back half of it. Like, he's in the range that the Rockets have at the back. So a lot of, like, guys are able to build their rosters with those type of picks. Remember, the Bucks won the championship, and they had one player that was a lottery pick, and that was Brooke Lopez. Hell, Giannis was 14. So, I mean, you could package 23 and 24 maybe to get up in that range, and I don't know if you're going to get Giannis, but whatever.
5 o'clock fire.
Yeah. All right. In the latest, you talked about it. The Lakers are nearing a deal to get a former Houston Rocket. I don't understand this, but they're trying to potentially acquire Russell Westbrook from the Wizards in trade for giving up to the Wizards Kyle Kuzma, Montez Harrell, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and a 2021 first round pick to take on that salary. And bring more non-shooting to the Lakers. I don't understand it whatsoever. You would think they need more spacing with LeBron and AD. So what makes sense, bring Russell Westbrook? I don't understand that at all. But
I think we should pull for this just to get all up in show's crawl. What do you think? I think we should. I feel like it's the right thing to do right now is really root for this Russell Westbrook to the L.A. Lakers.
What
kind of sense does that make?
I'm with you, man. I mean,
what kind of sense?
Are you sure Harrell's a part of this deal? I saw it up there on TV. It just said Kuzma, Caldwell, KCP in the 2021 first.
No, I'm pulling it from Adrian Wojnarowski.
Gosh dang.
Dang, you nailed that name.
I got that one. I don't have Giannis's, but I got that one. Yeah, that don't make no sense to me. I felt like they needed to get more shooting on the court. And we'll see. And Russ, Lord, good God almighty. Russ and LeBron. 2 players who desperately need the ball all the time together in the backcourt.
Wow. All right. Good luck with that, show.
Yeah. 2 players on the back end of their careers.
That's
too.
Another one. They're not in their prime.
Yeah. Not a lot left.
I wouldn't
for
say there's not
them.
A lot left for yep. one of them.
No, both of
it's
them
gonna
are
be fun to watch them struggle to the next end. Year. It's going to be fun to watch them struggle next year, Teef.
It will, man. You, Bub. I'm going to watch as many Lakers games as I can just to laugh.
I think that's what LeBron's doing, trying to make it as difficult on them as possible.
You'll try to paint that picture.
Look, I won a championship with no shooting. I don't know why I just pointed to you.
I don't either. I'll point right back at you there, Bob.
I'm just befuddled myself. All right, Clint's going to talk to you about what was the most telling thing at practice today, and it does not anything to do with Deshaun Watson. We'll let you hear that next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, we were out day two at Camp Casario, and there was a lot going on. And I think the number one thing that many people are wondering about is Deshaun Watson. But interestingly enough, the number one thing that you noticed that struck you in day two of Camp Casario was they're out here working. Yeah, and look, they're working, and the length of practice is not what you normally see in today's NFL.
Yeah, look, I'll be transparent. I haven't been to any other NFL training camps other than the ones I participated in several years back, and then the Houston Texans and Green Bay Packers, obviously, when we traveled out there a couple years ago. But it's unfortunate that the distraction of Deshaun Watson is in Houston, because the truth of the matter is, we should be talking about this team that Nick Caserio put together with a lot of veterans, a lot of dudes that are coming in on 1-2 year deals, that need to play well. They're in a contract year for one reason or another. And this coaching staff that they put together obviously plays a part in this. But this team, show, the first two practices in training camp have been 2.5 hours long in the scorching-ass heat. And I know it's scorching because I stood out there from start to finish, from the time the first player ran out there to the time they left.
I can attest. My arms are 2 shades darker.
It is absolutely hot in Houston right now. And these guys, they didn't check up one time. I can't remember who I was talking, maybe Mark Berman. I said, Mark, these cats still ain't done team yet. And they were out there. It was already 2+ hours. I said, they hadn't even started their 11-on-11 yet. The hardest part of practice, ultimately. You hadn't started, I mean, it was 2.5 hours, and it's unfortunate that we're constantly talking about the other stuff, which rightfully so. I mean, obviously it's a national story, but what should be being talked about is the fact that they've assembled a team of 80, 90 guys here and a coaching staff that is out there doing exactly what they need to do when you're in year one of a rebuild, which is work harder, work longer than everybody else in the game, and take advantage of every single minute of the day They've done that the first 2 days. David Culley said it's a ramp-up period. Can't put pads on yet. It's a ramp-up period for the NFL. The NFL's got it. This is what we got to do. Well, man, you're ramping your ass up for 2.5 hours a day. I commend you. The players, the coaches, Nick Caserio, everybody, they're putting it in. And in this Texas heat right now, they got plenty of reason to go, let's pull these guys back a little bit, man. Let's get them inside. Let's get them in AC. Let's get them watered down. No, man, them dudes are grinding in the heat, and it's going to pay off in the long run.
No, as we're talking about, this is a longer practice I've ever seen as well. Covering the Chiefs, I don't remember them going into having 2.5 hour practices. I don't remember that at all. It felt like a 9:30 to an 11 type of a deal. That was what we looked at. These guys are out there much longer than I've seen the NFL. Who do you think's behind that? You think that is a Caserio thought, or is this a way that Culley's going to run it? Because it's weird. Like I said, Culley was under Andy Reid for years, and I've covered Andy Reid practices, and they were not that long. I wonder who's
I would say it's Nick Caserio, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady way of doing things. We're gonna take care of you now. When we're here, we're gonna put it in. That would be my guess. Nick Caserio. I mean, look, Nick Caserio is as involved as he is. I doubt very seriously that he's not heavily involved in the schedule of practice, at least the structure of it. You know, how long is the practice? Where's it at? Who's invited? Who's not? I would be shocked if Nick Caserio's not steering the ship on those particular structures of practice. But I don't care who's doing it, show. I'm telling you, man, it's been impressive, and that should be where we're at with the Texans. Because ultimately, if you're a fan, you're not happy with where you're at, but you want to know you got a team out there that they're not canceling mini camps, right? I mean, you got a team right now that for the first 2 days of training camp have put it in, and I'd be willing to bet you that they've put in time and effort equal to or above anybody in this league.
As we're talking here, being at training camp today, the last 2 days, they have put in over 2 hours, 2.5 hour practices is what they've been having, which has not been the norm for most teams. And I guess the picture you would know better to be painted from you would know best being involved in it. Is this them just racking up time in the heat, or are you sensing and seeing they're doing things that are really getting them better? They're going through drills that are getting them better. They're actually using the time. There's some people that's out there just out there, and they're not actually getting better. Are you what you're seeing from them that they're running things to actually get themselves better and put them in a better?
Yeah, I don't know. It appears that they're being efficient with the schedule and the time, but I can't tell. Whether what they're doing is going to be something that allows them to have success on Sundays. I look at what they're doing from a scheme standpoint, and it seems all really vanilla at this point, which is why it's a little bit more difficult on the offense, because the offense is running the same routes in individual, in 7-on-7, in team, and so the defense they're sitting on routes, they're reading routes. It's real easy to predict what the offense is doing right now. It should be. Truth be told, it should be easy for the quarterbacks to decipher, to process what coverage they're seeing as well, and the receivers as well. So it should be, easy for both. But ultimately, this stage in camp, when everything's super vanilla, everything's super repetitive, the defense has the advantage. I don't see anything schematically that you're just like, wow, this is unbelievable. I love how long they're out there. I love the intensity of the coaching staff. I think there is a serious void with this particular team right now of leadership. When I look back on the years where we were able to cover training camp, two of the last 3 years, and some last year we were out there, there was blatantly obvious JJ was setting the tone on defense. Now, regardless, they weren't worth a damn last year. I get it. But it was blatantly obvious that JJ Watt was setting the tone at practice. And wrecking shop at practice. It was blatantly obvious that Deshaun Watson was setting the tone offensively from drill to drill, bringing the juice, bring in energy, and that stuff's contagious. It's very clear right now, in my opinion, that they're missing that. That it's not there right now. And that doesn't mean it's not there at all. It just means right now nobody's established themselves as that guy. Sometimes it takes time. Is it Tyrod Taylor? Is it Mark Ingram? Is it Justin Britt? Is it Laremy Tunsil? Is it Shaq Lawson, who's a new defensive, what they expect to be a big time producer? Is it a Christian Kirksey?
Is Justin Reed ready to start?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just don't see. If I'm being completely honest, that's the one thing about practice. You just go, man, I don't see that same. Which what they had was elite. Now, I mean, you look around the league, and Deshaun Watson on one side and J.J. Watt on the other, and we can pick their play apart. But when you talk about dudes setting the tone, bringing the juice, and on a daily basis and making their teammates better, I don't know if there's two better in the league. There's a lot that are probably comparable, but I don't know if there's two better in the league. So you went from having two of the best tone setters on both sides of the ball to having a bunch of dudes new to each other.
Yeah.
So it may take a while to find that. But that's the one thing with practice. I've been very impressed with what's going on. Other than that,
I wonder if they'll keep up this length. I wonder will they start to bring it down? Right?
They can't. I mean, golly.
This is I've heard.
You put pads on, you can't be out there that long. Yeah.
When the pads start,
yeah,
it'll come down.
The one thing too,
Dick Vermeil used to do this.
The one thing that's crazy though, show is like there's no conditioning after practice.
There's no gassers or anything.
There's
like
no
that.
Gassers. There, you know that it's. It's just a different way of filling that time, but ultimately, man, I think they deserve to be saluted for what the hell they're doing, because these last 2 days have been, if it's a ramp up period,
they're ramping it up. All right, we got to get into it. A move that has completely changed the landscape of one of the most popular sports in this country. We'll discuss that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Remember tonight, big night right here for the Houston Rockets, right here on Sports Radio 610. Our guys, Sean Pendergast, you hear him every morning, Payne and Pendergast. He and our Rockets insider, Adam Spolane, will have it down for you 7 o'clock tonight. Our NBA draft special. It looks like Cade Cunningham will be drafted by the Detroit Pistons, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. That leaves the likes of Jalen Green, Evan Mobley. There, a lot of people see the Rockets going towards Mobley, but they also have two additional first-round picks, 23 and 24, so make sure you're staying loaded, locked and loaded for them tonight. 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610, our NBA draft special. But the big news right now, and this is a game changer in the second most popular sport in this country. If the NFL is king by ratings and everything else, the second most popular sport is a sport in which you are a two-time All-SEC football player, second team, All-SEC football player, quarterback, the man who doesn't have to buy a drink in Fayetteville or Little Rock,
Arkansas. Y'all see how he just kind of like inadvertently, very quickly labeled himself a hater right there. Y'all see how he did that?
That was a full pump.
He's
going to
do that.
Y'all see how he did that?
What are you? That's a full pump.
That's why people don't like you. That's all right. Go ahead.
Up yours.
Hold on, so
people love me. I was a full pump up. I mean, I was in the midst of it.
That was good.
It's college football, Clint. And that is because the SEC, they've done it. The presidents and chancellors voted unanimously, that includes A&M, that they're going to bring in Oklahoma and Texas. They've issued an invite to Oklahoma and Texas effective July 1st, 2025 is when that would start competition to begin in all sports in 2025-2026 academic year. OU Texas in there. And Clint, I first want to go here with you with this because we know Tyler, an A&M fan who always keeps saying, oh, this is good. Texas is going to make them worse. They won't get back. John McClain, oh, you know, Texas couldn't win in the Big 12. What makes them think they're going to win in the SEC? What is this going to mean on the football field for those two programs, Oklahoma and Texas? Do you think this will be better for them football-wise or worse?
Well, it'll be better big picture-wise if you're an individual, you know, that can get beyond the selfish side of things and think about, no, I wouldn't shout at you. I'm thinking, you know, just
completely
if you can get beyond that and think about bigger picture of having a slice of a bigger pie is better for you. Being a part of the best college football conference in America is better for you and everybody else involved. The gap between the conference that you're in and everybody else widening instead of closing is better for you and everybody involved. So big picture, it's better. You know, I think OU and Texas, and let's be honest, Texas hadn't been in this conversation in a minute. I think OU is going to have a much tougher road to the college football playoffs moving forward. You know, an easier road is what you're looking for, then I think the it's going to be much more difficult in the SEC than it was in the Big 12.
I think many people look at OU and Texas and think that, all right, now they go to the mighty SEC, they're going to take, like, step back. And especially with Oklahoma, I still think Oklahoma, they may not get to the college football playoff like they were getting every year. Seemed like them and Clemson, Ohio State and Alabama were in some form or fashion seemingly there almost every year. I don't think that, but I still think OU will still routinely be a top six, top seven team every year. And I do think this is a move that can help Texas. Like, I don't necessarily think that when those two join that conference that they all of a sudden are going to take a step back and that they're going to, like, they were in another conference and when they get in this one, they won't be as good. I think both schools are going to get better talent and going to compete for better talent. And I think, especially Oklahoma's case, they got a coach in Lincoln Riley who can coach with almost anybody in the country. He can coach with those guys in the SEC. Now, I don't know about Shark. Sorry. But he can coach those guys in the SEC. I would slow people who think that those programs are immediately going to drop down because they enter the SEC. Those are really, really good programs historically, and then Oklahoma currently still really good with their coaches and players as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think their world's going to get shocked. Rocked. They're
going to have to get used to the schedule of.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no question about it. It is a much, much more physical conference than the Big 12, top to bottom.
Yep.
And they got it. You know, that's gonna rock their world. That changes the game. It changes, you know, how you play offense a lot of the times. I mean, there's just a lot of – it's just a game changer. And the fact of the matter is that I think UT will be back. I think UT will be back in you know, in the conversation of the best teams in the country sooner rather than later. I do think Sark will have success there. But ultimately, man, it's going to be a much steeper climb for them to reach the college football playoffs than it's been their entire life. So, you know, so look, the other thing is I think Oklahoma.
That's interesting. You think Oklahoma's going to have to change the way they play?
Well, I mean, look, I think Oklahoma they've shown that they have just been exposed, you know, in the college football playoffs. I mean, they hadn't been able to compete at that level, which, I mean, look, we're talking about the best of the best, so we're really getting critical of
the one year. It looked like they were going to beat Georgia, and then the floodgates opened. Yeah. They just could not stop Georgia, and they went to that overtime game with Baker, his last game there. I thought they were going to beat, they had a 3-touchdown lead in that game, But then they just could not stop the running game whatsoever.
I'll be honest with you, Show. Like, I think you look at LSU the years that they were really good, and LSU really all the time. I don't know that Oklahoma, year in, year out, is going to be able to do what LSU, Alabama, Georgia.
See, I think they can.
I don't know if they've got the dudes. And when I say the dudes, I'm talking about O-line and D-line. I'm sure some number cruncher out there is going to come at me. Oh, they got this many players in the NFL. They do. I get all that.
They're going to have to get better. They're going to have to get better guys up front. But
I'm going to tell you, man, you got a certain number of schools in the SEC that because of where they recruit and where they're located, their special teams look like grown men. I mean, it's just a different level of. I mean, I've always said that, like Les Miles and now Ed Orgeron. Man, those guys ain't got they recruit out of an Escalade on I-10. They ain't got to go nowhere. I mean, they when you talk about O line and D line, they're right there in them swamps, man.
Mississippi.
I mean, they got the ability to go elsewhere, but they're right there in them swamps, man. And if they ever now and then go out and handpick somebody from either Houston or something, they can grab a couple of them guys too. But they got. When it comes down to being a monster every year, the sustainability of being a college football monster every year, you got to have a way to have offensive and defensive linemen and not you don't rebuild, you reload. And there is 75% of the SEC, they rebuild, right? There's 25%, roughly maybe less, that they reload. Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida's got the ability to do that. They hadn't always done it, but they got the ability to do that. You got Auburn from year to year. They're really good up front. A&M, when they were the only game in town in Texas, they had the ability to build those monsters. You see what A&M's got coming back in the O-line and D-line this coming year. I think Texas has the ability to get there, even splitting hairs with Texas A&M. I don't know if Oklahoma.
See, I think they'll.
I don't know I
think
if they get, got the dudes.
I think
man.
They'll get better bucks. I think they'll get better dudes. I think they'll be able.
They
to,
may.
They may. They'll now they'll be able to get into different states that they hadn't been able to probably get into.
Sure. Sure.
Stuff, and more in Texas too. So I like. They just had a drop off with especially front seven wise. Where they just missed on guys. You know, they used to have guys like Tommy Harris in there and the big fellas where you'd be like, okay, they got some monsters up front. Like, but they've just missed a few of those here lately. I do. Texas, I think it may take some time. Texas may be more in the, especially at the beginning, Auburn range, maybe below Georgia, Florida range. But they could definitely take the step because they've got resources out of this world to do it.
To me, though, that's the one, in OU coming to the SEC, that's my one question with them is can they get their O-line and D-line, their big guys, can they get it to a point where they're reloading like the Hosses in the SEC are doing? Because if you can't, You can have a good year and have a good run and all that, but you can't sustain throughout that schedule for multiple years the way some of these other guys do. The deal with Texas to me is, they should be able to do it. If they don't do it, it's a disappointment. If OU doesn't, to me, it's one of those like, man, they just ain't got those. They ain't got that same top tier depth. That Alabama has year in, Georgia has year in, year out, and LSU has year in, year out. They just went forever without being able to develop a quarterback and play and call plays. I mean, that's Texas. If they don't do it, damn it, it's a disappointment. If A&M don't do it, which they obviously have done it, I said it from the jump. A&M has the ability to build that program in a way that they can sustain and play with the top teams in the SEC year in, year out. They've done it. They're there now. They ain't done nothing before this year. Obviously, the Johnny years were really good with talent, but not the big boys I'm talking about. What they've done right now is they've got O-line and D-linemen that are – they're going to give you a shot every Saturday show.
They got big boys up front. I think a lot of people view Oklahoma as we're talking about The SEC have extended invitations to OU and the University of Texas that would start July 1st, 2025 competition starting the 25th in all sports 2025-26 academic year. Like, I think a lot of people feel like OU is going to go from losing one game a year to now losing like three or four games a year. And I just don't necessarily believe with Lincoln Riley and the crew they have there that it will drop there. And I bet you they start to get some different players coming up over the next 4 years to prepare themselves in the SEC. I just don't know if it's that going to be a big drop off. The other part of this is, what are these other conferences going to do? And the other schools in Texas, because like you would agree with me that the Big 12, this was the death nail, losing Oklahoma and Texas, that the Big 12 being a power conference, it's over. And these schools, I already know Kansas has been on the phone with meetings with the Big 10 trying to get there. These schools are trying to find their next move. Now it's going to be, what are the Big 10, the ACC, and the Pac-12 going to do now to try to take these schools that are left in the Big 12? And there's a lot of schools, Oklahoma State and then the other Texas schools, to see where they're going to go. And the natural fit feels like the Pac-12, but we'll see what happens there, because that's the other domino effect of the SEC. They've done it. They've taken the step to the power super conferences. Now those other three got to make a move.
And obviously, I think the Big 12 is all but done. I mean, I got 4 years to play ball. You talk about some interesting matchups, though. I mean, every week Texas and OU play a Big 12 matchup over the next 4 years before this goes into effect. Yeah. It's the opponent's got a little added, little bulletin board material, don't they? I think the Pac-12 has lost their damn mind if they weren't on the phone. The minute that OU and this whole OU SEC – Texas SEC, once that leaked, if the Pac-12 wasn't on the phone talking to Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, TCU, and Baylor, they're not trying to win.
Because that would take them to 16.
That would take them to 16. That would bring them to Texas.
Would you take all four, if you're them, would you pull BYU in there? Or would you?
Not over any of those. I mean, I think if you're you know, you got to get in. You got to get in that central time zone where you can play multiple games a year in front of the world instead of just people that want to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning to watch West Coast football. You got that footprint being in Texas, you know, all the way to California. That is a monster footprint. I mean, you got to think there's a major plus to that. If the Pac-12 it didn't run, because they're perfect fits. I mean, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Baylor, and TCU are really, 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 really good fits for the Pac-12. And in fact, if I'm one of those four schools that I just mentioned out of the Big 12, I'm salivating to get into the Pac-12. I feel really good about my chances of running the slate over there and getting into the college football playoffs. There right now, there is no OU in the way. There is no what Texas was when Mac Brown was there. None of those are in the way. Can USC be good? Great. Yeah, sure. Can Stanford be good? Yeah, great. Oregon right now. Oregon can be good. But you don't have any of those teams that you just think, hey, man, damn, it's gonna be tough to overcome these jokers.
SC is the only one. SC is the only one where they can change in a dime. You would love to say, I can recruit, especially if you're a Texas team, I can recruit in Texas and California.
Because
we're playing games there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. I think that would be a big time marriage. It would be good for all of I'd like Pac-12 football more.
You would.
Hell yeah. I think Iowa State is great for the Big Ten. I think Kansas State would be great for the Big Ten. I don't know what you're gonna do with Kansas. Kansas is gonna run up to the Big Ten too?
Well, Kansas is they've been conversation that is the number one team that's left in the Big 12 that's going to find a spot because of their basketball program. There's only about five basketball programs that really print money, and Kansas is one of them.
Who am I leaving out of that Big 12 mix?
West Virginia, I think, is pretty good in both sports. I think the ACC could really eye them.
ACC go Notre Dame, West Virginia?
Yeah, and that gets them 16, would it? Yeah, I think that gets them 16. So they get Notre Dame and West Virginia, and then that's that for them in the ACC. But we'll see. We'll see what the Big Ten does in the ACC and the Pac-12, because they've got to make a move now that the SEC has done that. Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. Make sure you're listening, because they've got all the camp stuff. They generally have really good guests, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Clint, I do want to address this. We were doing a topic earlier about, man, never seeing a GM really like have the impact on the field the way that Nick Caserio has. He's like, it's not just as a guy taking notes and look, he is coaching. We literally watched him step over after a drill and coach Kiki QT about what he should have been doing in this drill. Real coaching. Like, he didn't look out of the way. We had a caller earlier, Rob. He had a question to you of, all right, with Caserio on the field and so involved like a coach as the GM, how do players look at that? How would the players respond to that? What would be their response with the GM so involved?
Like, well, that? I think there's very few players on this roster right now that have any enough skin in the game to even let it ruffle their feathers.
Very few.
Right? I mean, you know, but I do think this. We say he's not over there coaching Laremy Tunsil. I mean, he works – every time I see him grab somebody and coach them, like coach them. I'm not talking about rip their ass. I'm talking about coach them. Like, when he's grabbed them, it's the receivers or somebody on special teams. That's the two I've seen. I think he's staying in his lane. I think if he were running around there like a madman trying to tell Laremy Tunsil – you know, how to kick step on a, you know, on a DN that's in a wide rush, speed rush position. That would be a little bit interesting. Yeah, I think he stays in his lane. But to Rob's point, I do believe that if he was over the top and just all over the place, stepping on the toes of coaches, you know, obviously getting outside of his lane, trying to coach positions he knows nothing about, then I think players would buck. There's no question about it.
See,
I think there's a handful on this team that could buck, but there's 99% of them, if they buck, they'd be cut before you know it.
See, my thought process was, man, what, like, real headstrong coach would be all right with that? Like, you know, when you think – because when I think of the best coaches in the NFL that have passed or present, they've been really strong, headstrong coaches.
Yeah.
And, like, it is hard for, like, to envision a control freak like Pete Carroll, Andy Reid, or Bill Belichick, or whatever, to have the GM on the field like that. Like, it feels like it takes a special type of head coach to be all right with a GM.
Yeah, one that you hire because you can do it, right? I mean, ultimately.
Yeah, like, I
think there'll come a day if the right guy, like if Bill Parcells, you asked about Bill Parcells earlier. Like if Stephen Jones would have been on the field,
not a chance,
trying to coach a position that he played in college, Bill Parcells would have bucked. Bill Parcells would have said, what the hell are we doing here, guys? I mean, but Bill Parcells also on the way in was like, Jerry, I got to pick my own groceries. You got to get the hell out of here. Like that, he was a...
like a younger guy, Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. I wonder if that's what they're about. Their GM on the field. And hell, Shanahan's GM's a Hall of Fame safety.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, if John Lynch wanted to get in the ear of a safety when I was, I'd probably be cool with it. I mean, I think it all matters of who you're dealing with. Nick Caserio strikes me as a guy that probably stays in his lane and knows what the hell he's talking about.
If he hired a Mike Tomlin, he'd be going about it a different way, potentially. I just don't know if he would hire one.
Hold on, Joe.
All right, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show. Tyler, you fought well today, man. I'm actually really proud of you, man.
Just be careful with that hammy, bro.
You sucked ass today, now that I think about that. Texans All Access coming up behind us. Clint, Tyler, I'm lying. Great job today, boys. I am Ron, the show, Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Coors Light and jump off in this pool. Oh, 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 oh.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.